welcome to the Tuesday live stream with John Willis from Special Operations Equipment, who is on the ball, Johnny, this morning, and Jack Spierko from the Survival Podcast. I'm Nicole Sauce from Living Free in Tennessee. Have you guys noticed any difference in your life since the government shut down?
Zero.
No, but they're about to. They keep talking about coming back, so they'll be right up in our mess again. The IRS seems to work just fine while the government was shut down.
Yeah, it's funny, right? All the shit you don't want never shuts down.
Yeah, all my local municipalities and everything to take all my fees and fines, and Dawn's milk Nazis were right up her, you know, investigating just fine.
They have no idea what they unleashed when they did that.
Oh, I don't think they have a clue.
Yeah.
They fucked up. They're right now, they're trying to claim victory because they have a deal, but it doesn't get them anything. Like, the Democrats won because all the furlough workers get back pay, which they've always gotten anyway. And all the people that Trump fired in the interim because he could get rehired and back pay, which they would never have been fired if they didn't shut the government down. So it's basically exactly where it was the day it shut down. And the only thing holding it up is Rand Paul right now. And that's one thing I know about current events that's going on, because I haven't paid attention for 10 days. It has something to do with cannabis products in, like, grocery stores or not, like, convenience stores. Like, they put some provision in there to remove intoxicating THC products from, like, grocery stores and stuff. But, like, the full stores dedicated to it, it doesn't affect them. Just convenience stores and grocery or like gas station stores or shit.
So let me get this straight. No more pot at gas stations. Is the
correct.
Problem. Okay.
Correct. And I don't think that's what the Democrats were fighting for. So I don't know what sniveling little bitch snuck that in there. Like, that's an actual problem we need to worry about right now.
That'll be a Republican thing, though, the whole weed thing.
Yeah. It's fucking retarded.
These gas stations around here, some of them don't even sell gas. They're just weed gas stations.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, the way it reads to me, like, if you just put up a thing that says weed, it's okay. Like, if you're dedicated to selling, like, cannabis products and stuff, what they don't want is a little kiosk shit up on the countertop where you're checking out and whatever.
Bear has it at Refuge Medical at his shop, where it says Refuge Medical. It says, "We do not sell weed." People still come in looking for weed because they see medical. It's just wild.
Okay, I'm saying this because I saw your mouth stop moving, but my audio just took a punk, so I can't hear you right now. So you guys need to talk for 2 minutes while I figure out what crappy-ass Zoom setting just took over and hijacked my dang studio audio, which always happens when I've been out of town.
All right, so we'll hear talk as soon as she shuts up, right?
Can she hear us?
I don't think so.
All right. No,
looks like she's trying to figure it out. I think she read my lips, though.
How was the event?
It was pretty good. In fact, it went exceptional, and I'm kind of glad we lost the YMCA venue because it's just different here. It's our place, and this is where people have been coming for 13 years, and it ran absolutely smooth. Now, I'm not going to say, like, the few days before it were all 100% smooth, but once we started, it was dead smooth, and I made a few changes, like, on reception day. All the stuff I usually cook for people as they show up was all fucking cooked. All I had to do was throw it in the oven, heat it up, and put it out.
Nice.
And I got this big, giant-ass Vivor warming box last year that holds four of those, like, full-size sheet trays.
Mm-hmm.
I had all the stuff in there, and I just shoved it all into that warmer box. And when people came, it's like, the brats and all are in there. Get them. And it worked perfectly. Are you back?
Oh, yeah. No, it's Zoom. I need to just uninstall it from this computer.
Yeah, you should do that. Did you hear what I said when you were talking and talking and telling us to talk?
No.
I said, well, as soon as she shuts up, we'll start talking. The way you made your face, I thought, like, did she read my lips?
No. I was irritated because I had looked three places for audio. Yeah.
Y'all need to talk for 2 minutes.
Yeah, so this is why when people want me to come on a Zoom call, I don't want to come on a Zoom call.
It hijacks all your other settings.
Yeah, and I'm going to, like, after this one, I'm just taking it off the whole computer.
Zoom is so 2010.
Yeah. Anyway.
I mean, purposes, but whenever somebody, like, asks me to be on their podcast, and, like, as soon as they send me a Zoom, I'm like, oh, God damn it. I'm like, why? Why are you doing this? And they're like, well, I pre-record, bro. I'm going to put your show out in 60 days.
You can do that on StreamYard too.
Yeah, I know you can. I don't get that either, right? Like, how do you like hold back an interview for 60 days?
Well, not about the shutdown. I feel like it won't still be shut down in 60 days. That's my prediction.
You're holding back an interview for longer than the government shutdown. That's not right. But yeah, my life's been just a mess without the government in it. It's like, actually, I haven't had the government out of it. I don't understand what shut down. I don't get it. Like, the only people that are working and not getting paid are the soldiers, and I get why that's the case. But I bet you those assholes who sit behind a computer all day and figure out ways to make my life miserable, they could work without pay too then. Why not? Why do the soldiers have to fucking show up and work and do all the shit they do, but the guy that sits around his ass and talks to somebody at the water cooler, no, fuck it, you can go home, and then get paid as though you worked? Yeah, we have problems.
Well, I did notice that airplanes were dropping from the sky.
Airplanes did stop taking off by a small percentage.
That could have impacted me. But that just tells me we have a fragility built into the system where the airlines need to be paying at air traffic control and not the feds.
Correct.
Well, didn't Reagan handle that at one point when the air traffic all went on?
Yeah, that's kind of what tightened it up. Like, they completed – it was already taken over by the feds, but they completed it under that so he could use presidential powers and just basically say, you know what, you don't want to work. This is a national security fucking issue. You're all fired. We'll just rehire people. By the way, you can get rehired, but your tenure goes to fucking zero.
ATF cash my checks.
But I'm still waiting for him to work on my FFL license.
Yeah.
I'm sure they've shot some dogs somewhere during the lockdown still.
Yeah, they really can't not do that.
It's a thing. Congress should not get paid. Need to go back to volunteer legislature.
Yeah, Congress should not get paid. They should definitely not profit while in office.
But they do, so they don't really care about their pay.
No, absolutely.
Their pay is meaningless. Like, you have somebody making $149,000 a year, does three terms in the House, and their net worth at the end of that is $12 million. Do you think they really – and they went in with, like, nothing. Like, yeah, they don't give a fuck. They're
– Yeah, Patrick Bet David, one of the guys on his show on Valuetainment, bought into Nancy Pelosi's stock trade, just follows that website of hers.
Yeah. Yeah,
and he put $50,000 in, and I think he's up to $200,000 in 6 months right now. It's like a massive number.
Yeah,
and they show it pretty regularly.
So now we have the reverse Kramer and the pro Pelosi.
Yeah, right?
That's if you follow both of those, that's your diversification. You go into the reverse Kramer ETF because there's actually a fucking ETF that literally is a reverse Kramer. Whatever Kramer says to do, the ETF manager just does the fucking opposite. And then you just follow you do your own like solo trading, following the Pelosi tracker, and you'll be rich. At least in fiat.
You heard it here first, guys. You heard it here first. We cracked the trick of how to get rich.
Yep. Reverse Kramer and pro Pelosi. Yep. Like, at least Pelosi's done something for America.
So did she stand down? Did she in fact retire, or she just announced that in 5 years she's going to retire?
She announced that she will not seek re-election next year.
The adrenochrome's getting hard to get, I think.
Yeah, like, get on your broom, fly off to your beach house in fucking Florida and shut the fuck up. That's all I ask from you at this point. There's pictures of her involved in politics with JF fucking K. Okay.
She was
fucking end this.
She was banging JFK. She was his intern.
Absolutely she was.
That was his side piece.
Yep. One of his many.
Yeah.
One of his many. Like, Pelosi, Marilyn Monroe. Bro, like, you could have stuck with the better one, but.
Yeah, Nancy Pelosi was not ugly then either.
No, she's just old now. She was really attractive when she was young.
Yeah.
John's got the top box now.
Well, he was talking. I was like, he needs to be in the top box.
Yeah. The top box.
That's your nickname, top box.
I just like podcaster ranting, bitching over twaddly little shit. Did you see what you probably didn't because you didn't run? You didn't set the stream up today. We have a new feature in StreamYard, Nicole.
I saw it, the Mars feature.
No, that doesn't bother me because I ignored it. No. Now when you set up a stream, you set up, do you want it to be horizontal or vertical?
Yeah.
That's related to Mars.
And if it would just fucking be default to horizontal, which is recommended, it wouldn't be a problem.
Yep.
But once you set it up, you have to go through and manually change every fucking destination. Now, I guess once you know about it, when you set up the initial stream, if you do it then, it'll just default to all of them. But if you're going to roll out a feature like that, like have your little code monkeys, put a little thing that says fucking stream settings, and put the certain things in defaults. I wonder if there is a place to do it, though.
We haven't found it. We've done lives the last 2-3 weeks it's been on there.
You haven't been able to find it.
We have to do it each time we go through it. Brandel finally found one. We're still live streaming to Facebook also. I know that was supposed to have stopped, but ours is still working.
I thought of another place to look for it. It's not there either. Dude, I'm going to send them a nasty gram. Last time I sent them a nasty gram, I got $300 credit on my account.
Boy, when I sent them a nasty gram, they gave me a canned response and never actually solved my problem.
My initial support ticket, that's what I got.
Yeah.
I've been paying you guys like pro subscription levels for like 5 years, and your main users of your service are podcasters. That's probably not the people you should shit on, because we all know each other. And I got this long fucking apologetic bullshit, and I got like $300 credit to my account, and then I got $300 credit, but I also got the next year free. That's so nice. I'm like, that's spread out over like 2 years now. Yes, StreamYard, I told everybody how to fuck with you.
Yes.
Don't use AI fucking automated shit for your fucking customer
service.
Yeah,
that's just not. Yeah. Hey, no. Did you try using all of the proper steps to record it?
Did you know what I got is you can go to YouTube, because it was one that was not actually recording.
Yeah,
when it went down.
Yeah.
And you can go download it off YouTube. I'm like 48 fucking hours later, I can. That does not help me get my podcast out today. I actually figured out a hack to download it in segments from Twitch right away, and I pieced it back together and I made it work.
But did you check your internet connection and reboot your computer?
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you hit record?
Did you hit record?
Are you out of space?
I am a fan of AI. I think there's some things it should not do. You know? Now, when it's just those regular customers, like when you have a little chat bot and it basically reads back the FAQ you already read to you, I don't get upset by that, because that's what the people do anyway. Like, right. You can tell they just cut and paste it and stick it in there. Like, okay, I get that. But
Do you still need an agent? Yes. Otherwise, I would not be here.
I had one place one time. I'm trying to get customer support, and that's clearly what they were doing. So I just cut and paste the entire FAQ and put it in the window and said, now can we actually talk about my problem?
Yeah, there's no more just press zero to get to a live person.
No. I have found a lot of those fucking service lines, though, you call it when you have to call in. It's like, are you one of this or this or this? If you just start going 0000000 and you just keep fucking doing it to where when you let go on your cell phone, you hear it go bam, 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 bam. Eventually it's like, we're connecting you to someone. Like, it just gives up and like, fuck this. Put them through.
So are you guys cold where you're at? It's pretty cold here right now.
No, it hit just that freezing yesterday, but it was only down at 32, 31 for like an hour and a half. So all the hoses froze, so I couldn't do the ducks till noon. But other than that, it today was like 38, I want to say, was our low overnight. And then we're going back up into the 80s the rest of the week. And then our lows, it's going to be a great time of year. Like 78, 80 for your high.
Yep.
Like 50s for your low. Like that's I call that Walmart weather, because if I could order that shit in a catalog, that would be every fucking day of my life. Fucking rain on Saturday morning. Rain on like Wednesday morning and be those temperatures and never change, and then life would be good.
You need to move for that, Jack.
Unfortunately, moving up by you, which there might be some remote property up by you with the Spirigo name on it very, very soon, won't fix that.
No, it's cold here right now.
I can live like that, but I don't know if I want to live in Ecuador. There's a place in Ecuador called Cuenca. And it's like right on the equator, but it's at like 4,800 feet. And so it's like, it's literally like high temperature, 78 degrees, low temperature, 52 degrees. And it rains, not every day, but the temperature's that way like 365 days a year. It never fucking changes.
That's literally where you want to live.
It's even though it rains a lot because of the elevation, it's not humid.
Yeah, well, it's gonna
get hot. But it's fucking Ecuador.
Yeah. That's where I was planning to go in 2020, right before all the...
Were you really?
For vacation?
No, I was going to go tour some coffee farms for fun.
Okay. Oh, yeah. tax-deductible vacation.
Right, but also content.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. That's how it becomes a legitimate tax-deductible vacation.
Apparently now I'm going to Crete, though.
Crete? Oh, that's right.
The Crete trip.
Nicole slayed on the barter blanket, man.
I did.
Where is Crete?
Greece.
Got it.
Yeah.
That'd be cool.
Well, everybody's like, you're going to Greece. I'm like, I don't know if I'm going to Greece till I go home and have a conversation.
Yeah.
But now I've had the conversation.
You'll like this one, John. So Jake Robinson throws like a bunch of freeze-dried shit down on the freaking barter blanket. And you know Jake, right?
Yeah.
And he's just floundering and everything's dying. And I'm like, Jake, just step back and let me do this for you. So I start selling his shit and I start getting kind of building it up. And he finally like just won't shut the fuck up. I'm like, you know what? You're on your own, right?
Like so Jake.
I walk away and let him go. He ends up floundering all over the place, gets nothing out of it. Next dude comes up. I do the same thing. This guy comes. I don't even remember what he had, but he ended up with two deals and he netted about $1,200. And like when you have somebody that knows how to sell, step up and say, I'll do this for you. Shut up. He's like, but I don't want to give it all at once. I'm like, you don't know what somebody's going to offer. You're completely free to change do the negotiating once the offers come in. And he couldn't grok it. I'm going to say this in case Jake's listening. Jake's been doing some shit. I don't know if it's an actual program or he invented himself, where you get up at 5 a.m. every day and you do certain things for a certain amount of time. It was a dramatic difference until that moment. Only that moment. Like he was like a totally different human and then he reverted in that moment. And then right after that, he went back to like this brand new Jake. I even told him, I said, you are a brand new Jake in the best way possible.
I mean,
I think I was talking with him. I was being dead serious. I'm like, man, I could tell that's a weird thing when you look at somebody. He didn't look physically different. Just the way he held himself, the way he carried himself and the way he was less obnoxious and all of that and less nervous. It was pretty cool to see.
I mean, if you got up at 5 and just spent an hour just working on yourself, right? Positive affirmations, maybe some journaling, and just no social media connectivity for an hour. It'll completely reroute.
I'm reading and a certain amount of time just sitting outside. And I didn't look it up, but it sounded like a structured program, like a hard 75, right? But not as complex.
Yeah. I mean, just before 9 o'clock in the morning, face the sun, like literally look at the sun. For 15 minutes, just sit there. That's the hardest thing I've ever done is sit still and do nothing for 15 minutes other than face the sun. But it does, man. It completely rewires you.
Okay, it is a thing, and there's many clubs. It's the 5 a.m. club.
Thank you.
ESO Academy, but there's a bunch of them. There's all kinds of groups. I might do this. I mean, yeah, there's a fucking app for that. Okay, I'm gonna play around with it. I get up close to that time anyway, so why not?
You totally should.
Yeah. I've already proven I can go on 3 hours of sleep for fucking 7 days.
Yeah. How many hours did you get last night, though?
Last night? About 8.
Yeah. Was it glorious?
It was absolutely fucking glorious.
Was it everything you thought it could be?
I did absolutely nothing, and it was everything I dreamed it could be.
Yeah.
I actually cleaned up a lot yesterday. Like, all the hooligans left chairs out by the fire.
Hooligans.
But it was actually great because they were closer to the shed anyway. So I got all the chairs put away. Like, I got to do the coffee pots today. But Andy washed them, so that was great. So like,
yeah. I was like, please, just wash it out so I don't have mold next year.
What I need to do is get all the Dorothy's Christmas shit out of the shed before I put it all back in because it'll be easier that way. And she's not ready for it in the house. I'll just put it up on the porch and then she can start building the forest of Dorothy for Christmas.
I believe it's about time for her to start the great Christmasing of your home. It's November 11th.
Yeah, it is time. And hey, it's Veterans Day. We should recognize that. And generally during a Veterans Day, we're here at my place, you and I and a bunch of other people. But this year we went a week earlier. And I think somebody didn't get the memo on that.
Hey,
if we're going to start invoking that movie, we'll just keep breadcrumbing that shit all the way through. I got like a dozen one-liners out of there.
Makes sense.
John, did you ever do that with an employee? Like it just wasn't making it? What is it that you would say that you should do here?
I don't know what we're talking about.
The movie Office Space.
Oh shit! All the time.
Yeah, Stephen, right.
Yeah, all the time.
That's a perfect line. That completely makes a motherfucker uncomfortable, right? You're like, yeah. So hey, I was reviewing your performance, and I have only one question for you for this performance.
What do you exactly do here?
What is it that you would say that you do here?
Right.
You know, because, and trust me, the way you answer this question has a lot to do with whether you're going to be on the inside or outside of that door in the next 5 minutes.
Yep. Have you seen my stapler?
Yeah.
I'm going to poison the guacamole. We just give them an old photocopy machine and see what they do with that.
Oh, we had the printer.
We did.
It melted down the day that everybody started showing up, writing like extra fucking forms and shit. And yeah, I'm like, everybody's walking around. PC load letter, what the fuck does that mean? Like,
2 cover sheets on my TPS report.
All we've started is, this is worse than snakes.
It's not that. We're just going to add snakes to it. I mean, come on.
There's people come in here that haven't seen that movie. I'm like, you cannot work here. If you come back Monday, we're going to have a quiz about this.
Yeah. You know how I got my wife to watch it, John? Because I tried to get her like 4 times. I told her the name of the movie. She wouldn't do it. I'm like, tonight we're going to watch a Jennifer Aniston movie. She goes, really? I'm like, yeah. It's great. She's a star in this movie, man. It's like one of her first big movies she ever did. She's like, okay. Everything I said was true. Every fucking word I said was true. It might have been misleading, but it wasn't dishonest.
I'm going to need you to wear 23 pieces of flair. Yeah.
We have to do, you know what? We always talk about doing like a movie night when we're all getting together for an event.
We should do that.
That would be the perfect movie, because we've talked about like the Monty Python stuff and shit like that, but, or Blazing Saddles or whatever, but that, or Spaceballs, that is more broadly appealing. I have found that a lot of those movies that appeal to men do not appeal to women. But Office Space, if you give it a shot, it pretty much appeals to anybody who had a job in the 90s and early 2000s.
Yep.
Especially if it was anything approaching an office type job, then it's like, I know this.
Cubes.
Some of the characters, you're like, I know that guy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Are those guys still there? That's what I wonder.
You mean like, where are they now type thing?
No, like, do they still have those personalities at people's jobs today, or is it a whole new set of caricatures?
So people in that age would all be like Gen Zs and very young millennials now.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that they can be that person. I don't think they're capable. They have their own, I think they're the same characters, but they're a different version of that character. Like, they would cry when the printer jammed. They wouldn't fucking beat the shit out of it to rap music with a fucking bat, right? That's the difference. Like, come off, the guy's on the floor in his fetal position crying. What's the matter? My boss told me to go make 10 copies and the printer doesn't work. Bro, fix the printer. It said PC low. Like that. ChatGPT doesn't know what it means. It reverted me to a movie.
I think we should actually build that error code into anything. I feel like it needs to be programmed into things that we're working on.
I don't think it was an actual error, but those printers in that time frame, they did fucking retarded ass fucking, like, it means absolutely nothing. Listen. Okay, go ahead. I'll let you do it.
Yeah, Ed says, I work in hospital IT department. Yes, those people still exist.
Are they all still old now, though? That's my question.
Because they're still running those same computer systems as back then.
If you want to get a lesson in marketing, look up Office Space trailer remixes. And they use the exact same footage that's in the original trailer, different music and different arrangements. And like, one is a romantic comedy, the other's like a mystery, it's almost angled like a crime scene murder mystery, and another one's like a horror. And none of the same thing I did with my wife, but it's a Jennifer Aniston movie. None of them are actually lies; they're just deceptive, because you actually, everything in it, like in the crime scene one, when the Bobs are sitting at the table like questioning Milton and shit, and what's his name, Samosky, the guy that invented the jump to conclusions game. They look like cops, and they just angle it like they're cops in an interrogation room and shit.
Yep, good cop, bad cop.
And when the psychiatrist that hypnotizes Peter at the beginning, when he has his heart attack and dies, they make it look like he's the victim.
Like
Peter jumps under the fucking door to try to get the confession and the money back. Like, It's beautiful. And it's like, I used to use that in marketing classes. Like, it's all about how you arrange it, how you tell the same story differently.
Yep, to appeal to a different audience.
Yep.
I was trying to get Riles in here, but he's already disappeared.
Yeah.
I found out, like, yesterday they're texting, is this close to your house? They were 5 minutes from my house.
Oh, cool.
On our way home. So I kidnapped him from his original objective and put him in base camp for the night. I had a really nice dinner last night. So that worked out well.
They're looking for land around the Col too.
Nice.
There's a lot of big pieces.
Man, it's beautiful there.
And if he finds like the right piece and he can't afford it, but I can't afford it, but like if we break it in half, if there's good building sites on both, then maybe we can do that. But from what I learned over the last couple of weeks, I want to keep it above, I want to keep the parcel over 15 acres.
Over 15?
Yeah, to do that greenbelt shit.
Greenbelt.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah, it just drops your taxes to dog shit. I was like looking at some of these places. I'm like, how the fuck are the taxes that low, even for Tennessee? And then Nicole keyed me on a piece of land I had her go look at for me, that was an issue and you couldn't subdivide it beyond that or whatever. It's like getting ag prices, like your ag tax price, without actually doing ag, is kind of how I look at it. It seems like the rate is pretty appropriate.
You have to have a plan. So usually it's a logging plan on a piece of property like that.
Yeah.
And if you start putting houses up in the trees, it could mean that you reverse or lose your greenbelt and have to pay back all the saved taxes.
Yeah. What Angie told me is you do wildlife management.
How smart.
And then you pretty much will never hear from anybody ever again. Because as long as the woods are there for the deer and you plant some shit for the deer, then you did wildlife management, which is a loophole here in Texas too for ag. I didn't know that. You can do wildlife management and get an ag exemption here. But our minimum's 5 acres, so I can't do it. And they would come here and go, yeah, you're not going to have any fucking habitat for deer on this rock anyway. You're fucked. Get out of here.
We can't get registered as a farm because I don't have 13 acres here.
Yeah, yeah. So you just need to, like, bump somebody off and get 3 more acres.
But I think that was that a recent thing you discovered or something a while ago?
No, we've been trying it for a couple of years, and everybody, every time we turn, they're like 13 acres.
Huh.
Huh. He said, yes, five.
Because, well, I know you can get USDA grants for less than 13 acres, but then that means you're going for a grant, which means they have to somehow define you as a farm.
But farm tax exempt. They won't give me my.
Those are different things. You can be a farm. Yeah. You can't be ag exempt. Those are separate issues. Because, John, if you have a space left of all the shit you've done, what you should look into is NRCS high tunnel grant.
Yeah, so I have high tunnel, but NRCS means you have to grow in the ground.
Yeah,
and
for 4 years.
If they ever come out, they better not find anything in that tunnel, not in the ground. So
only
and they
4 years.
Yeah, I thought it was actually 2 years.
Yeah.
But they don't actually buy your tunnel. You buy your tunnel, and then they reimburse you on part of the tunnel.
Yeah, I had a guy on. You can get about 70% of it paid for with grants, so you're still out of pocket for 30%. But he also said that, like, once they came out and looked at it the first time, he never saw anybody again.
Got it.
You know, and I think he said you don't have to grow everything in the ground, but like all the ground except for pathways has to be in cover crop. And it's a certain percentage.
Can't be heated, has to be in the ground. There was a few other things with it.
Yeah.
I think we're going to actually use high tunnels to dry firewood in.
That's not a bad idea.
Through the months.
I mean, they'll do cross fencing too. So that's another thing. If you have a perimeter fence, they'll do the cross fencing, which can be helpful if you're actually rotating your animals.
It can be hugely helpful.
Because it's a bigger investment than anybody tells you it will be as you get into it and realize that your whole life is easier if you have more infrastructure.
Yeah, and fence is expensive.
I mean, what I'm going to do?
The right fence is expensive.
Correct. I don't want to do any of that shit on a property up there because I'm only going to be there a couple months a year.
And the wrong fence is even more expensive.
I want fucking woods everywhere and like a yard big enough to fence in so when I'm up there and the dog has to shit at night, I can let it out the door. I want low maintenance.
Jack wants a deer, turkey, and fish farm as near as I can.
Yeah, I want a pond and I want a berm so I can shoot.
Man,
if the berm happens to be a fucking mountain, okay, that works too.
You can put up vertical foam poles and build a deck on that and just put your tiny house or tie your tiny house into the phone pole. So it's like a tree house.
Yeah.
Not without having to have the trees.
Yeah. I'm probably, given what we want to do with this, just going to do like a brand new, like super upgraded single wide 3-2 or 2-2 because like that can be in a week and it's done. And then all the everything's brand fucking new. 10-year warranties on everything, and I can do the land and the home cash and be done.
Yep.
And then I can Airbnb it when we don't use it, and then one of Nicole's people can get paid to clean it.
I need that crew right now.
Cleaning crew?
You always need that. Everybody needs that crew. And when you have it and then you lose it, everything completely changes. And you start removing things. And then when you get those people back, then everything turns back on. It's just an ebb and flow constantly. It almost needs to be seasonal.
Yeah. Well, I feel like a good webinar series on that, training series on what really happens when you think you're depending on outside cleaning on your Airbnb or whatever.
It depends on where you are.
You better be ready to deal with the things when all of that just falls.
It depends on where you are, too, because, like, where you are, it's a lot more spotty and a lot less consistent with, you know, high volume of Airbnbs. Like, another place I'm looking to buy a property is down in Freeport. There's, like, 10 companies. All they do is clean Airbnbs. So if you're unhappy with A, you fucking fire them and hire B. And that makes it a lot more doable. The problem is those areas are much more competitive, obviously, to buy property because half the properties or more. All right, I would say half the properties in Freeport are Airbnb, on the beach anyway. Up in Broken Bow, I don't think anybody that works in Broken Bow lives in Broken Bow anymore. I mean, I hate it, you know, but Airbnb has fucking just wrecked that place. You can't afford a place. Subdivisions are built to be Airbnb cabins. I mean, literally, like, from the beginning, they're like, they design it, like, lay it out for Airbnb cabins.
We've got resorts here, like a day spa kind of thing in the woods. And that's what they've done. It's all just beautiful little tiny houses, and it's all Airbnb tiny houses.
Yeah.
There could be some tiny houses, too.
They'll have a chef in there and farm to fork and a, you know, massive kitchen. And
he's going to walk so he's cold.
Well, movement does help with that problem.
It takes you back to being in, like, in the Army, and you fall out for PT in the morning. And it's a fucking cold ass day. It's the only day everybody's like, let's get going. Let's do some fucking push up. Let's fucking run, you know? Yeah. And that's when they make you just stand around for like half an hour before you start. And the more you bitch, the longer you're going to stand and do nothing. So shut up.
Yep. This jacket might not be enough in North Carolina. Well, layers, my friend. It's actually amazing how much just movement can make it so you don't need a lot of clothing in those things. UPS guy came up our hill yesterday, and John knows it was below freezing here yesterday, and it was snowing. Short sleeve t-shirt, and that's because he's running from the truck all day.
Did you guys have ice on the ground yesterday?
Not really. It snowed but didn't stick. There was some iciness this morning, but
it was snowing here yesterday morning, but nothing. It was just in the air as we're driving. But we got frozen water this morning. We're at 28.
Oh, no. Yeah. You mean animal water, not your water.
Yeah. No, frozen animal water.
Like, really?
We're about to switch. It's a couple more. We've got a few more weeks, and then we'll switch everything over to rubber water bowls from Waterers.
Yeah, we've done that transition now. I still need to cut all my tomato vines off the side of my house. And
I've still got tomatoes out here. Well, maybe not now, but we had a ton of those purple tomatoes that you planted out there that Kiri put in. And those tomatoes, the only tomatoes we had here, I think, all came from you this year. And we've still got great looking, just beautiful, colorful tomatoes out there. And then we picked, my guy ran through there, Steve, and picked, I think, about 200 jalapenos yesterday morning, just stripped them off. And then all the figs are now in the row house. And they're still growing. We still have fruit on the figs.
Nice. Yeah, those tomatoes were started with active living microbiology, and they did way better here this year, too, because I did it from the moment the seed germinated very carefully last year.
The color, like, I don't know what they are. We've got something that's just super, super bright orange with, like, white stripes in it. They're just beautiful. And then those purple ones are super pretty, too.
That's Brad's Atomic Grape, and then it's probably the black strawberry that are the little purple, right?
Yeah, they're real nice.
Grape are fucking bulletproof.
Yeah.
Even when they get blight, they just keep fucking growing. They outgrow the blight.
We haven't had any tomatoes to speak of for the last 3 years, but these did incredible.
My asshole chickens fucked my garden up this year.
my emu. Man, I we put in this pergola because I wanted to do mini pumpkins trellis up, and we got sweet potatoes in there, and then I had a bunch of watermelons, and they were doing great. Man, I had all these little baby watermelons. I'm like, I might actually get a watermelon this year.
Yeah.
And went out there one morning, and they had scalped all the water. They ate the vine. They ate everything. It was like the bed had just been completely raked flat. They ate everything in the matter of like 6 hours, just gone, scalped three beds.
So you grew it where they could get to it, though.
Well, when I put it in, we didn't have them out there.
Oh, okay.
And it wasn't an issue. I've got the fix for it now. Now we're just putting in sally ports.
Okay.
So when you come in the gravel, there's a double gate there. So
yeah.
But they do, man. They'll find something they like, and they will just eat all of it.
How aggressive are they, especially like when somebody visits?
Not at all, man. They're super curious. Like, I would let kids out there with them.
Okay.
They love – it's like the opening scene from Jurassic Park when they come across the hill and see all the little dinos running.
Yeah.
Because they follow you. When we come on the property through the gates, they chase the trucks. And then when you're out there on a four-wheeler – and Brandel is scared to death of big birds like that. And they come around, and they're messing with the camera, and they're pulling stuff out of his pockets, and – they're not at all aggressive, at least because I have two males. If we introduce a female, that might change.
That might change, yeah. I guess I saw the video with that guy, Randall, you just talked about, because he seemed like he was scared of it. So I thought
he was scared to death of it.
So they're kind of like turkeys. Like when I saw turkeys here, they just kind of follow you around. They're like, what are you doing? And
yeah, the turkeys are – I have nine royal palms, the big white ones out here.
Yeah.
And they're more probably aggressive than the emus are. The emus just step on the turkeys and kind of kick them out of the way.
Yeah.
But those turkeys, because everything, as soon as you come through the gate, everything wants fed and hasn't been fed for the morning. So everybody's there waiting for you.
You have one of those things like where you do the drive through and you can see all the animals, but all the animals are at the gate because they sell you a little cup of corn.
Yeah.
Like 10 bucks so you can feed them. And as soon as you open the fucking window, heads are coming through the fucking window and shit. Kids are screaming.
So we went to, there's right about an hour from here, there's the drive-through zoo in Alamo, Tennessee. And I thought it was just going to be a tourist trap. Man, we had a blast there. They sell you the sweet feed. And the trick to those is you bring your own thing of sweet feed with you.
Yeah.
But as soon as you come through the cattle guard, there's like three or four zebras sitting there. And Amanda immediately rolls the window down and holds the bucket. And the zebra looks, grabs a bucket, throws it on the ground, and doesn't even eat it. Looks back at Amanda like, what are you going to do? I'm like, you better get out and get that bucket. And when you look around, there's like 50 buckets there. That's their stick right there.
That's just his deal.
And they're like,
I'm full. I already extorted enough food.
They're like, feed. You can feed the animals. Don't touch them. I touched every animal they had. I was out messing with them, and it was a blast, man.
And somehow you didn't make the 6 o'clock news, you know?
Nope. Yeah, they had all kinds of stuff out there. It was so fun.
Not like the guys who run with the buffalo in Yellowstone.
Yeah.
Or the guy. Idea.
Did you see the guy dressed up as the wolf that went out with the wolf pack and the wolves mauled him? He was dressed up in a furry costume in Yellowstone. The wolves tore the piss out of him.
Of course they did.
The rangers were watching. They had to come and rescue him.
No shit. But
I bet they have great stories to tell, the rangers.
Oh, hell yeah. All the national parks.
This episode where Homer dresses up in a panda suit and goes into panda thing and panda things happen, that's cartoonish level stupid.
Yep.
Fuck. How? The limits or the lack of limits to man's stupidity never ceases to amaze me. Like, did you think this was going to go well? You're like, I got an idea. And where was, like, does this guy have no friends? To be like, bro, listen. Remember back, it was either late 80s or early 90s where the dude like strapped like 1,000 fucking helium balloons to a chair.
Yep.
And his method of getting down was he took a fucking pellet pistol with him. And he thought, you know, like, I'll just shoot a couple balloons and I'll come down. And he ended up like 10,000 fucking feet. He couldn't get, I don't know how far that guy went. I think he lived.
Sorry, I have a distraction being handed to me. Look who survived, John. She was on the fence last month.
That is a good-looking kitten.
Tactical just spent like 45 minutes looking for her.
That's going to be the biggest since you bottle kittened her and saved her. She's going to be the biggest love cat ever.
She is. Right now, she's the biggest play cat, and she has the biggest belly.
Yeah.
We have 12 kittens here around the property, but they're all males. We don't have any females here.
That's probably good because it'll prevent more cats.
Somebody just posted on my county group, like, hey, it seems like there's so many dogs and cat strays just dropped off here and not taken care of. I don't know. It's like, since I've been here, it's been the worst problem. I'm like, well, when I moved here, there was a privately run nonprofit that gave you a free voucher to spay or neuter your animal. And at that time, it was not as bad.
Yeah.
Related?
Probably.
Well, as money gets tighter, people dump animals.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It'll be kids next. Well, it always, I mean, if you look around, like, through history, it always is children are after animals.
I was just saying, we're going to go back to, like, the late 1800s, early 1900s, where there were, like, orphanages fucking everywhere and shit. And have you ever noticed how many orphan hero stories there were that came out of, like, just past that era? Like,
yeah, I mean,
and shit like that.
They were eating kids. They would swap children, and they would eat kids. If you look all through, like, Hall of Damore and stuff, for instance, there was always stories of that. But it always starts with animals. And in this county, the shelter's full. They won't even take cats. Like, you can't even drop a cat off there.
I read an article one time about this organization. It was, like, owning all these city parks where the cats are a problem. And they'd come up with some sort of drug that sterilized them.
Yep.
They think it only sterilized, like, the females, or it only sterilized the males or something. But they would just put out food for a certain amount of time. And the breeding population just would, like, the cats are still there, but they stopped making more cats.
Yeah, they would trap them and then fix them also. There was a lot of that.
Yeah. It's a thing. They were calling for more money to go to the shelter to solve this problem. And I'm like, that's not what solves the problem, really.
Preventing the unwanted reproduction of many, many animals does.
Yeah, Tori, in addition to that, like, it was illegal for a woman to be single. So when the father died, a lot of times they would take those kids and put them in homes also. And then a lot of times you hear asylums, like, we know that all through history. But a lot of them, there was poor houses right next to the asylums that were actually a mirror. And some of them were part of the asylums.
Yeah.
But it was illegal to be homeless. It was illegal to be unemployed. It was illegal to be a single mother. And you had a lot of that. And a lot of those places ran. The real decline of those big facilities like that was when they had to start paying the inmates, whether they were called inmates or residents or whatever. But when they started having to pay them, those places could no longer exist. Like, they fed themselves. They had their own fire stations. They had their own power generating facilities. They were massive. A lot of them were thousands of acres.
Yeah.
And then Nancy Reagan's pet project was release them, you know, and put them back in the population. But there never was any, when they opened the gates, those people never had any homes to go to. And now when you look at the homeless population and you see the truly crazy people, there just is no more facilities for them.
That's the real MAGA. Make asylums great again.
I love it. I love
it. It seemed like a good idea at the time, but if you look at the net result.
Yeah, it came. Geraldo Rivera did an expose and came through some of these asylums, and they were just horrid. There was feces all over the ground, men and women shackled to concrete together. And he came back. It was supposed to be 6 months. He was supposed to come back and do another, like, follow up. And he showed up 3 months early. And what they had done is they had literally walled off part of the building to hide it. And they got caught, and that's what really prompted Nancy Reagan to go out and do, you know, all of her release them.
And I get that, but we could right now, like, cut 10% of foreign aid.
Oh yeah, absolutely. You could
have great asylums, like, make asylums actually great again. It'll be the best asylum ever, right? Like, and everybody knows it, and everybody's
so beautiful.
So beautiful.
All the spires
in the asylum, but they will be well cared for.
Fix all the bells.
Yeah. And, like, have it as a rehabilitation plan. Like, we would like to get you out of the asylum. But there are people that, I'm sorry, like, that's their best course in life. It really is. Like, and if it's uncomfortable there, then maybe you won't want to be there. So it shouldn't be too comfortable, but a little comfortable. Right? Everybody says it's not. It's fake news.
Well, I always wondered, because we went from, orphanages to the foster system we have now, where there's it's just rife with abuse, right?
Yeah.
And I did a whole thing a couple years ago of like, why did the orphanages go away? Because they were also rife with abuse.
Mm-hmm.
So they just changed the abuse.
Yeah, they just outsourced the abuse.
Yeah, and it facilitates some other abuses that was harder through an orphanage.
Yeah. Like, you have centralized abuse where you have very easy oversight of centralized systems. Like, we love decentralized, but maybe some things that are like prone to abuse should be centralized. Because when you have decentralized abuse, that's a lot harder to police. And like the deal, like, I don't want to offend anybody because I know some very amazing people who are foster parents. I mean, amazing people. They've dedicated
probably the same ones I'm thinking of.
But there are people who literally see this as a cash flow thing. And the more foster kids I have, the more cash flow I have. And then my goal is to make sure they don't die on as little money as possible. And I get the spread.
Yeah.
And that shit happens. And if you've ever cooked for large numbers of people, you know that it's actually easy to drive the cost per meal way, way down. If you feed them dog shit food, especially, and you can have a fairly profitable operation. And then you look like a good foster parent. We're self-sufficient. We don't have jobs. We're here all the time. We can just take care of the kids.
Yeah. And the kids are helping them grow the food.
Yeah. Or whatever. Yeah. Whatever they're doing. Because there's a lot of city level stuff too, where they're not doing any food growing or nothing, but yeah, it's fucked up.
So there's a private nonprofit organization in Tennessee where it's a faith-based one where you agree to take the kid to their same church sort of thing.
Yeah.
And you can foster a child if the mom's going or dad or parents are going to prison for a certain amount of time or rehab or whatever. And it's actively keeping the parents engaged through, like, they can visit at certain times. You don't get paid for that if you become one of those families.
This so there's
absolutely, you don't get money for food. Like, you take care of this child.
Yeah.
And I like that, that one has had good outcomes.
I like that though, because if everybody's going to that same church or their same church, then like the church itself can like see the kid, you know, once a week and identify problems, like, are they malnourished or something like that. So it's like distributed but centralized.
Yeah.
What else can we apply that model to?
Yeah, this is an issue. Jose says most of the abuse starts from the older kids in the foster home.
Yeah, I bet that's true too.
That's a problem. You're like starting people into one room and you don't have any way of,
Well, you got that staggered age too, so it's natural that those bigger kids are going to pick on littler kids. And if they don't have oversight, it's going to be even more so.
And also not oftentimes emotionally damaged going in.
Yeah.
Broken people break people. It's just like hurt people. And that's, exactly. I mean, if a lot of those kids in that system, and that's who, you know, puts that on them. Bear talks about that a lot. Like the beds that are available for recovered traffic victims through like Department of Homeland Security, there's only like 80 of them or something in the United States. So when they're putting together Caleb House, that's what he talks about. And he's like, because we don't take any federal grant money, because then the feds are up there putting all these stipulations and you have to let boys be with girls. And if they think if this boy pretends to be a girl, you have to let him around. And he's like, those people, the same things that happen to them, they now do to those other people. We have to keep them separated. And if we take any federal money, we have to go under their umbrella and their guidelines, and it's just asinine. And now we have put these people back with, you know, predators again. Even though we have rescued these kids, they now do the same thing to the next kids that they come in contact with as they get older.
And they are broken, and you would understand that they're broken just by what happened. But like my niece's husband, I don't know if nephew-in-law, right? He's a county sheriff in Colorado, but he's been in the last 10 years on federal task force with the FBI. And he did like 3 years on a human trafficking task force. And he said, you do all this work. And he's like, it's incredible work to finally find the person that you need to find to get. And they finally track it down and they, you know, they free like six people because a lot of them have been farmed out, but they find that headquarters and they get that guy. And not only is he the guy that has those people, he's the guy that's trafficked fucking shitloads of people. And to really make the case, they need somebody that they freed from that guy to say he did it. And that hardest thing is to get that person, because they're so fucked in the head and so controlled and so brainwashed. And that will tend to be the ones they'll keep for themselves, the ones that are most controllable. So then they can't get them to testify. And these guys, you know, they could have went away for 40 years, might get five. And that's just, that's what you need if you do that.
And they recover the same victims over and over. Like they will literally recover the same child six to 10 times. Even though they've been put in the foster system, they end up right back in those systems.
See, I don't even think you deserve, if you do that shit to some little kid, you don't even deserve the bullet. After the bullet, we're going to bury you. I just say, go ahead, just skip the bullet. It's 100% effective. The dirt nap is 100% effective.
Beth Emily says, being a few years older than you guys, you're not wrong, but there's so much more to it. Are we talking about the asylums, Beth? Is that what you mean by that? Put in, like, let us know what we're talking about.
Okay, so new neighbor. Oh,
I'm sorry. Go That's back. Okay. That's the comment John's talking to.
That's Beth Emily's comment.
Yeah. Who did you have up?
So new neighbors, big foster parents, returned two to the parents. Parents murdered one child. They just adopted the one who was left. That's brutal.
Wood chipper fuel is cheap. I don't think you even need wood chipper fuel. You literally put them on a big stone, and you just let the people of the town handle it. Just put some, just piece by piece. Just let them. People will show up to do the work.
I have lots of creative ways.
It doesn't even have to be creative. Just a pair of needle nose pliers. Just on a, he's just on a big piece of concrete block. He's chained there, and there's a pair of needle nose pliers. Just let the residents handle piece. It.
Get in line, take a piece. I was thinking more like staked out where ants are and honey.
Yeah. I mean,
I saw a movie one time. Of course, the guy escaped. Like, they staked him out in the desert.
Yeah.
And he's laid out in the desert, staked out, and they put a bottle of water in his hand.
That's so all the
look at the bottle, but he was able to break the bottle and cut the rope. Yeah,
all the westerns, you used to see that in all the and cartoons. Yeah. You would see that in cartoons too.
Yeah. I got some stuff. I mean, you know, I do come from
like Eastern Europe. The train track scene.
Vlad the Impaler had it well.
Yeah. Right?
Fences make good neighbors, and sometimes neighbors make good fences.
Look at all these men that have been to prison for murdering people that harmed their young relatives, right? Or their children, or their niece, or their sister. Why are we not making those guys heroes?
Yeah, like those guys, it's not happening.
Like the Alaskan Avenger guy, that dude never should have been in prison. He's got there's a few of them dudes that have massive YouTube channels right now talking about that stuff.
Yeah, if I'm on that jury will be hung for a year.
Look at this dude. There was, I believe it was a sheriff that had some contact with his 9-year-old daughter. And then he was in the house. Dad found the dude. The dude actually had abducted the daughter a second time. He chases him down and kills him in the truck. And he is now on trial. And I was listening to a bunch. There's so much stuff that they are not letting in the trial that shows that this dude was bad. How about the sheriff? How about the sheriff that walked in? The sheriff that walked in and shot the judge, right? And the judge was having all these girls from jail, and he was using them in a prostitution
ring. Yes, that's
like
shit.
Why is that dude even on trial? Like why is there not 1,000 people at that courthouse, like just ready to dismantle that entire system in that local town right there?
That's M. Matiga, make trebuchets great again.
Love it.
Just. I think he went about 600 meters.
Just like Pumpkin Chunk.
If you survive, you get to go free.
Yep. we bring the Mythbusters out of retirement, and they do the trebuchets with the pumpkins.
What was that called? There used to be a thing.
Pumpkin Chunking.
No. Way, way back. Middle Ages, like if you were accused of something and they would put you in this scenario where you're going to die, like, and 99% of people die, but if you live, they said, well, God must have wanted him to live. He's not guilty.
Well,
Trial by ordeal is what it was called.
Oh yeah. Okay.
If she survives, she was a witch. If she floats, if she drowns, she wasn't a witch.
Yeah. Whoops.
A duck floats.
That's exactly where.
Small rock. Then we got other breadcrumbs, right? Small rock.
What?
Who are you that you are so wise in the ways of science?
Sheriff is running for office of that time. The one that shot the judge.
Oh, the one that shot the judge. Okay. Yeah. Say, yeah, okay, so the judge isn't running for sheriff. The sheriff's running for – okay, I got you.
Yeah.
Good. Good. I'll, he's got my – where do I make a campaign contribution? Because that motherfucker needed shooting. Like, if anybody needed shooting, he needed shooting.
There are people that disappear in Alaska. There are people that disappear everywhere.
The beauty of Alaska, though, is when somebody disappears, people are like, well, like, you know, if you find a little Woolrich and some bear scat, that must have been him. Like, there's so many ways you can legitimately disappear without somebody doing something to you that it's a little bit easier to say, I don't know. Maybe he fell down a cliff. Maybe he got kicked in the ass. I don't know. Maybe a bear ate him. I don't know. I mean, shit happens. There's a lot of fuckery goes on in Alaska, by the way, Nicole.
I'm not surprised to hear
like,
that.
I don't mean illegal. I just mean like rowdiness, because you have like this huge time where it's all dark out.
Yeah.
And then when summer comes, you get this condensed period with like days that fucking go on for like 18 hours.
Yeah.
And so like, and there's nothing to do. So everybody's drunk all the time. Like Cops Alaska, it's not called that. It's called something else, but it's like the cop show in Alaska. Like it's just nonstop fucking fights, drunk ass people running trucks through houses and shit. It's, and that's all they deal with 90% of the time.
And how many, like, how does their population change seasonally as well?
Pretty big.
Yeah, and that just sets the foundation. Because ski towns have that same thing where different time of year, but just huge influx of people who don't actually feel invested in that community, so they don't care.
When we were in Alaska, there was a shit ton of people that, like, were driving the tourist buses and stuff, and they weren't just not from Alaska. They were, like, from other countries, like, kind of on the cruise ship type of other countries, you know, like Malaysia and shit like that. And like one dude, he was that drove our little shuttle bus to this one excursion we did. He was from Florida. He's like, yeah, come up here. I work here for 4 months and I go back home.
Wilderness.
It's funny because the unemployment rate's very high in Alaska.
Wilderness says there's people that disappear in Alaska. We have people that disappear here in Benton County. If you look at like America's Most Wanted or Unsolved Mysteries, that TV show, like there was dozens of them that happened here in Benton County. People just disappear out in the woods here. And then Jester says, are you aware of the backlash we're starting to see regarding automated license plate readers like the flock cameras? I saw a dude talking about counties that have won against flock coming in. Apparently Sedona, Arizona right now is huge with flock cameras, but a lot of the surrounding areas like Chandler and such, they have kept the flock cameras out. You are seeing people cutting them down. You're seeing videos on how much copper is inside them. But like flock camera has just become a household name because of social media. 25 years ago, when I was in San Diego, they had flock cameras that they had to be on the hood of police cars, and they would drive through shopping malls scanning license plates. And I knew a cop. I saw it happen. It had a laptop in the computer, in the cruiser, and when it would get a ding, it would make an audible chime, and then it would show who or what they wanted out of the vehicle, whether it had expired registration, it was involved in an accident, or the person it was registered to had a want or warrant. So they would literally either tow the vehicle or just wait for the dude to show up and arrest him. It's way more insidious than that. Now they are talking about, well, we don't have videos, but they just put an app in, they just put an update that allows video. It's always allowed video. If you're hearing about it, or they're kind of testing, putting their toe in the water to see how we react, they're already doing the shit. It's just whether it's admissible and which court that they can use that against you in.
Yeah. I'm just going to float this. Like, we've all seen the videos of, like, somebody takes a Glock, puts it under a drone, and makes it shoot. It could just be a spray paint can. It could just be a spray paint can. Then it's just simple vandalism. And then... like if you spray a lens of a camera, it doesn't see things anymore.
Cody from Wrangler Star had a great series where he would just do a little, hey, you can your Roomba holds this much flash powder or whatever. You know, he's like, act accordingly. But he stopped doing those. I suspect somebody said, hey, knock it off.
Yeah, I like the angle of guess how much copper's in there. Have you seen like the videos they do for truly stupid people? They'll like show a picture of a valve stem and it'll say like, this is a tracking device from the government. Go check your car. And if it's there, cut them off. And if there are cutting wires. And you know, somebody did it. Somebody's like, oh, fuck, they are there. What's that sound?
Yep.
It's true. You're pretty screwed after you do that, too, by the way. I mean, that's a full-on breakdown to put it back, a new one in.
So Beth Emily says, I was a property manager for a homeless mentally ill property in Atlanta in the early 90s.
Oh, yeah.
One lady who got kicked out came back and murdered my coworker.
Yeah, she was at the tail end of that, right, when they did the Be Free.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You go. All you got to do is drive through towns in California right now to see what a mistake that was. And I've seen it everywhere. When I was in California a couple of years ago, I've never seen it that bad. The fucking fentanyl fold is everywhere. Fucking dudes walking around trying to catch fucking bugs. Guess what? It's like middle California, I guess, a little bit northern California. It's fucking 60 degrees out. There's a breeze. There's no bugs.
And the bugs
off their fucking head and trying to catch them and shit.
And the massive necrotic wounds that you see on some of those videos, that's pretty insane, the different stuff they're using. Did Congress or somebody just make it illegal to be homeless? I saw a lot of squealing and gnashing of teeth on social media saying that basically they just passed some bill or something, or there was a executive order that basically made homelessness illegal. What is that about?
It's only in D.C. and it is an EO. And it's more like if the homeless camp's there, you have to tear it down. The cops have to tear it down. And they have to try to get help for the homeless person, like take them to one of the resources that are available for them. And it's just basically, it's part of Trump's Clean Up DC thing.
That's the stuff I was talking about, Trank. Or Crocodile is.
Oh, yeah, that Trank shit's bad. That's bad shit. But, like, the president cannot make homelessness illegal in California or Florida or Oregon or whatever. Like,
well, I don't know that Congress can either.
I don't think so. I don't know
how they get that done. And usually when it's something like that, that's an EO, but usually when it's Congress changed this, it passed the House. It got sent to the Senate. They're now going to argue about it or not let it be discussed. A lot of the time when people are freaking out about that stuff, it never passes anyway.
Well, one fucking retard rep who's nobody pays attention to wants to be paid attention to, so they introduce a bill. Like, and it matters as much as if I or John or you did it. Like, it does, and people start fucking losing their minds. And it's people like fucking Alex Jones for all the good he's done. If he gets a hold of one of those, oh, they're going to get you. Like fucking calm down, bro. Like, chill the fuck out. We have enough shit to actually worry about. We don't need to be inventing shit to worry about.
I'll tell you who I'd worry about is Dawn Gorham going after the raw milk guys in Tennessee.
I don't know who that is.
She's local, and they just showed up and let themselves into her private place where her herd share people pick up milk.
Oh, okay.
So she's a little like, you can't have butter here, which she actually can, according to our AG.
Yeah.
And now she is going around organizing food freedom, farm freedom summits all over the state. She got mad.
Raw milk summit, yeah.
It's morphing.
If you fuck with the person and that person has some clout, you should have just left the fucking person. They're in their little island. They have their 20 people that get milk. All you do is leave them alone. But then you go poke the fucking bear, and the bear's like, you know what? Let me show you how this works now. And she's poetic justice.
You poke the bear who worked in a government position, whose husband is a lawyer, who knows a person or two in Tennessee who can get a person or two out, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and next thing you know, a whole bunch of fucking freedom movement podcasters, and all of a sudden money flows in to fund the fucking anarchy, and then, you know, you should have just left it alone.
She's going to have to run for office. I think Ken Berry's about to as well. Like, he's heading that direction. I went to a keep chicken thing. They were going after chickens in Dixon, which is the big county next to us. And I just went to support and see what was happening, and there was probably 10 ladies that had little, you know, speeches that were written out. They were reading, and they were allotted, I think, 5 minutes apiece. And they were cutting them off at like 1 minute. And he heard 5-6 people speak, and they hit the gavel and adjourned the meeting, kicked us all out, and then had their meeting. And every time they were talking, this motherfucker, he just looked at you like you were a damn cockroach. Like, he hated these people. And that dude, like, when you search mayor of Dixon, Tennessee, every article that comes up is just corruption, and nobody runs against him, and he runs opposed, and just like, he's been the mayor there for a decade or more, for a very long time. But they were trying to make it you had a rural area where they're trying to bring in housing and shopping malls and stuff. And everybody who, when they regentrified Nashville, people kind of came to Dixon, and there was mobile homes and, you know, disorganization and stuff. But they're trying to make it that you cannot have animals if you have a neighbor that's more than 1,000. They have to, if you have animals, your neighbor has to be more than 1,000 feet from your back fence. And they have people who have literally horse farms that have come in now and put these stack and packs, these tall, skinny houses next to them. And they want to be able, they want to push all those animals out of there, even though those people have owned those properties for 50, 60 years.
Yeah.
But it was over the chickens is what they were. That was the guys. We have it happening here, even in Benton County. We've got it happening.
As a person who lived through all the chicanery that happened in Oregon over my lifetime, of going from a relatively free state with heavy agriculture to what it is now, what I see as the most important fight in Tennessee is all of these local things.
Hmm.
Because that's how they did it in Oregon. They just went one town at a time, and then it's like, it's totally happening in my county. Oh, we need zoning and codes. We'll copy what Wilson County is doing because it's worked there, but it hasn't, right? It's pushed people out. It's taken away the very strength of the community where you can have a trailer single wide next to a McMansion and people get basically getting along mostly in harmony with a diversity of incomes and a diversity of perspectives to, we push the poor people out. We make it really expensive. We bring up our tax base, which then leads to a rural crash.
Yep.
So agenda, it used to be Agenda 21, and then it was Agenda 2030. The new buzzword is America 2050 now. And when you look at all those things that they're pushing through, it's in your area, whether you realize it or not. Your politicians are getting funding to put that into effect. Like, we didn't have a zones or codes dude running around here until recently. And he came in and started harassing people over chickens. And they're saying you can't have any farm animals. And they're saying chickens are farm animals if you have under an acre. And they're saying anybody getting new animals has to have 5 acres now in city limits. We don't fall under that here. But sooner or later, that's the whole thing with putting the 4-lane road in. They're going to bring traffic, and then they're going to want to bring Benton County into Camden City. That's where it always heads.
That's exactly what they do. And
they're paying them based on how many permits or whatever they can. Yeah. Yeah. So the incentive is false to begin with. If you're going to bring in a codes guy, pay him a salary.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's like the motorcycle cop they hired down here in Lakeside and basically told him, like, you write your own salary.
Here's
your salary, but if you don't make enough revenue to cover your salary, we're going to get rid of you.
We had a highway patrol guy show up on a motorcycle that was running around here for a few days, and he was run off the road and literally put in intensive care. I don't know what the situation was, but now they don't ride a motorcycle here. They bring motorcycles in on trailers and then use the motorcycles. Yeah. But they lowered this speed zone out here to 35, and they have 6 years to complete the project, and it's only going 4.5 miles, and the speed limit is 35. They literally had motorcycle cops hiding behind trees that were just stopping people.
Yeah.
But they're only stopping local people. They're not stopping any of the massive dump trucks that are running 60 through there.
No, what they'll do down here, like, they'll police the highway, even though the local cops are not supposed to police the highway. But there's a loophole where, like, a certain segment of it runs through. If your city limits are on both sides of it, you can, but you're not required to. So what they'll do, they'll tell the cops, if you want overtime pay, come in Saturday. And they'll put one dude up on an overpass. And they'll have, like, fucking 8 motorcycle cops waiting, like, a half mile down past that overpass. And they'll just pop a car and say, call out plates, and they're just popping them. And by the time, like, number 8 has written his ticket, he's back in line waiting for the next go. And they'll run that shit for like 6-8 hours on a Saturday.
It's all revenue generation.
Yeah. Yeah.
And like we'd see an influx of highway patrol here. And I knew a dude that was a member of highway patrol. And he said, well, if you see an influx in your area, that's because the local politicians have requested that to come in. And I said, you know, they're just poaching all these guys on the way to work. He said, most of that money, he said, like 70% of the money off of those tickets stays in the county.
Oh,
so there is an incentive to have them come in and write those tickets. Same with like something I didn't know is that the majority of sales tax for the area actually stays in the area where the sales tax takes place.
Hmm. See, ours is exactly the opposite. So if a cop writes you, the local cop writes you a ticket here, like 70% goes to the state and 30% stays local. But there is a back, like a boomerang that comes back around. The more money the state has, the more they distribute to local law enforcement. So it still benefits them in the end. And then our sales tax, like people think, most people that have been here think our sales tax 8.25. It's really 6. 2.25 is local. And that's what stays the local. And then some places don't have exactly the same, which makes when you're doing paperwork and you're like selling like a distributed service in Texas, a fucking nightmare. But like where I live, since we're unincorporated, if I ran a retail out of here and you came to me and bought, I'm going to charge you 6% sales tax.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I saw Josh mention Flock cameras about a FOIA request. I had also heard that the Flock camera system, like the municipality doesn't own the cameras. Flock owns the camera. You buy a yearly or monthly service. And I had also heard that a lot of the things people were up in arms over is if this municipality got Flock cameras, they have access to all of the Flock data in the database. So they can work, they can just data mine anything they want that's ever gone through any of that stuff. And a lot of that too, like that's your whole data management centers. And it's because they're holding all that information, not just Flock, but everything is data mined.
Here's what's going to happen. Like two really cute kids are going to get kidnapped. And then the Flock cameras are going to, you know, national alert. They put the little pretty girl's face on every day. And then the kids are going to get saved. And then they're going to talk about how a wonderful thing this is. And 70% of the retards are just going to be like, we have to have this. And it'll be everywhere. That's how they're going to
do it. Jester. Yeah. I'd heard that they're in partners with Palantir. If you look at Whitney Webb, there's this girl, Whitney Webb, who's all over YouTube. And she talks a lot about that Palantir stuff. You want to hear some crazy shit that you're just not aware of. And she's got all the supporting evidence and you can kind of pull the thread as go as deep as you want to go with it. But Whitney Webb talks about all of that stuff.
Yep. Here's now for something completely different. Jack, have you been asked to play the role of Santa for Christmas? Just asking.
We're playing around with it. We're not really doing anything official. I've even got a hat, but I don't have it here. It's just a cap, but it's got an SC on it. And it's red and it looks like a Santa cap, but it doesn't mean Santa Claus. It means Spiritual Claus. But I will tell you this, like regardless of what we do with it, on January 1, I'm going back to, you know, beard, but
normal beard.
Yeah. January 1, it goes.
Whitney Webb does talk a lot. So does Sarah Adams, but are they wrong?
She's not wrong, Whitney. I just don't care for her. She just comes across.
I get it. The voice. I know.
Yeah, just dingbat voice. Like, she's not wrong. It's just, she's also one of those people like 90% of the time I'm like, yeah. And then but everything is a conspiracy. And sometimes she's got all the evidence and sometimes not so much.
If you guys like that, there's another one called, it'll come to me in a minute. She's on Instagram and YouTube. And she does conspiracy theory stuff. It'll come to me in just a second. I'll tell you who it is.
I want to know about this, which reminds me, Jack is a jerk.
Thank you. Why am I a jerk, though?
Why is he a jerk?
Because I like being a jerk, but I like to know why I'm a jerk, because that's my payday.
Mm-hmm.
I just got one from he's on our stream sometimes, Top Cone. They had to evacuate. There was a plane that crashed, like, literally in his backyard. And lit the whole fucking forest on fire. And he sent me a picture, like, it looks like a sunset, but it's fire raging coming over the mountains, and they had to bail out. So they had all their bug out bags, all their documentation, all that shit ready to go.
Yeah, that's not one you necessarily write on your most likely to happen crises, but
yeah.
It can't happen. I mean, Amanda says Tiffany the truther, John. I don't know if that's who you're trying to think of.
Yeah, no, I like her too. No, there's another one. She's got a super soft voice. Real easy to listen to. She puts the package together real well.
Okay. Yeah. But like forest fires. Yes,
really, fire really fire grace, fire. Really graceful. Really graceful is her name.
Okay.
Like listen to the one she did on Starbucks, how Bill Gates' grandfather actually stole Starbucks from the people that founded it. Like just listen. It's pretty wild.
Crazy. John, did you listen to the one I did right before I went away for the event? on corporate welfare and how all warfare is corporate welfare and how fucking Walmart, literally you get hired at Walmart, their minimum wage nationally is like either $14 or $15 an hour. So if you get 40 hours a week at $15 an hour, you do not qualify for SNAP benefits.
Well, they won't let you work 40 hours.
They won't let you work. Either. They also never give you a set schedule, so you can't work anywhere else. Right? So your schedule will, like, you won't know your schedule to, like, the week of. So trying to coordinate a second job, and they'll tell you, like, this is always your primary job. But we gave you a flexible schedule, flexible for us. But they have a rep at almost every Walmart that when they get a new hire in, one of your orientation things is they sit down with you to fill out SNAP benefits.
Interesting. So my theory has been that all of these companies, Walmart is basically propped up by the government through SNAP and welfare.
That's what I'm saying.
Because that's where it gets spent, right? Where does the $40 billion in soda pop get purchased? Where does the candy get purchased? So if you cut that off, I mean, who did they prop up when we were all locked down?
Yeah.
Who did they let remain open?
Walmart, Kroger, Albertsons, right? But Walmart gets 25%, 25 cents of every dollar that goes to SNAP ends up in Walmart coffers.
Yep. Yep. And the biggest partner in Homeland Security is Walmart.
And then you track it further, right? So what does everybody buy at Walmart? Fudge rounds, right? Like Oliver Anthony said, right? So then everybody gets sick. So since their income's low enough, then they get on Medicaid.
Yep.
Then they fill their prescriptions at Walmart and Walmart profits. And then the drug companies profit by selling the drugs that are paid for by the government. What I said was, I dare anybody to give me a single welfare program that doesn't in the end benefit corporations more than people, because people spend money and corporations and wealthy people buy things. So where does the asset accumulation occur? And so that's why, like, and no matter what you try to do to make it a little bit more reasonable, the fucking world falls apart. We did a thing here in Texas last legislative session to simply say certain things you could, because the states actually manage the SNAP distribution. You can't buy certain things with SNAP. And it was like certain, like SNAP, like fudge rounds.
We made birthday cakes from the deli. Yeah, and soda like that. Basically.
It was also soda. And the soda was what fucking made everybody fucking snap out. So the soda lobbyists and the sugar lobbyists, the corn lobbyists, right, because it's all fructose corn syrup, descended upon Austin. There were literally more fucking lobbyists in the freaking legislature than legislators. And they made it like we're punishing children and it's racist and got the fucking NAACP involved and all kinds of shit. And it was all over like, listen, you don't need to be spending your fucking SNAP on Pepsi or Coke. And all you have to do is look at the health of those people and you can see it. And like, I was thinking today, like, if you think about the job a person does at Costco and the job a person does at Walmart, the functional part of the job is very similar. Walk into Costco and look at the people that work there.
They're reasonably
happy. They're standing upright, right? If you ask them something, they fucking know.
They have the capability of looking you in the eyes.
If they don't know where something is, they're like, hold on. They call somebody like, okay, he's going to take care of you. And they come get you. And like anything you need, you're taken care of. Go to fucking Walmart. First of all, everybody looks like this. They're hunched over. They're defeated. They're emotionally destroyed. But it's not just the fucking workers. Look at the shoppers. Like, you look at Walmart, you just feel like, I hate when I have to go because I feel sad.
Yeah, if you need help, they're going to get three more people that can't help you.
Yeah.
They look like the bullies from The Simpsons, the employees at Walmart.
I know you've seen people of Walmart.com.
Oh, absolutely.
If you're feeling bad about yourself.
I've been people of Walmart.com one time.
You're just not good enough of a human being and that, like, your life sucks. Like, go to that website. And unless you're on it, you will feel better about yourself.
Yeah.
I showed up to Walmart in my PJs in March of 2020 when I woke up and there was no power and no communications. And I was trying to drive away from my house to get communications like cell. And it didn't occur to me I should put clothes on because I was just going to be in my car. And I made it all the way to Walmart with no communications. And I almost walked in and I realized I was in my PJs. I forgot what I was wearing.
So how long
you would have been there?
I would have been on that show.
Somebody would have clicked you and posted you. Yeah.
How long until there's dialysis centers at Walmart?
There isn't already.
I bet you it's not long. I bet what they'll do, they won't be in Walmart. They'll make a deal with DaVita, where they give them fucking space in the parking lot to put the DaVita clinics in. So because right now there's a fucking DaVita clinic like every fucking 3 miles on my way to Fort Worth.
In 23, Walmart had stated on their, it was on their website, you can see it, I'm sure it's still there, that their goal by 25 was to have 60% less people attend the store and that you as a Walmart customer will be delivered to. Their new stated goal is that by 2030, nobody will come to Walmart any longer. It's all going to be a delivery-based service like Amazon.
Like Amazon, okay.
Well, they're doing better than Amazon right now.
Ours are pretty good.
Yeah. Like, well, I can get things delivered in a day or two here. Amazon's two-day shipping takes over a week to get to my house.
We did just have Amazon delivery driver bring a pack of paper towels.
Yeah.
In a bag big enough for me to get inside. And then 5 minutes later, a different driver, this is the same order, a different driver brought all the rest of the stuff 5 minutes later.
Huh.
It was,
that's
it was
about
weird.
Where they pick up and shit and who has what room on what truck.
I guess.
Yeah. I question them sometimes with that, but then I think about the data-driven nature of that. They probably know what they're doing. It looks dumb to us, but there's probably a reason for it.
Well, it's all like, coming from the same Walmart. I mean, they both drivers came from the
Walmart. Back. I thought you were talking about Amazon.
No, okay. Amazon's pretty good, too.
Okay, yeah. I didn't know that they were doing better than Amazon, Nicole. Is that just for food, or is that for all things?
For
all
me, things. The time in which I can, the speed at which I can get product, which is what matters when I'm...
Yeah.
You know, getting delivery is better with Walmart, and the items are generally a dollar or two cheaper.
So like you're saying they're doing better for you, not they're doing better in like gross. I thought you meant like in gross sales.
Oh, so, I don't know about that. No, I mean like their actual quality of service is better. But John's right. You'll get five items in your Walmart order, and you'll have five different drivers sometimes rather than people getting, you know, everything in one order.
So that's we had a Walmart
move right there. See that comment?
So I don't know how that can happen because it's not even an option on the service that we use for Walmart. We had paid a membership for a higher level delivery service where we could pick the driver, and because the driver would also rank the customer,
yeah.
We had two or three drivers always, and they said, "Hey, we fight over bringing your stuff," because Amanda always tipped them very well. But that has since gone away. They've changed that service, but the delivery is pretty good. We have ordered things from Walmart that are at the local store that don't show up, and then are all of a sudden the system updates and it's being mailed to us from walmart.com online.
Wow.
But there's a ton of stuff Walmart doesn't have, but Walmart is trying to compete with Amazon. Like you go on there, they've got gold and silver and a lot of the Amazon type things that Walmart does not carry are definitely on there.
That's all good and well, but like there's certain things I do not want to order online.
For sure.
I don't want to order meat online.
Absolutely.
I don't care if it's a primal or an individual cut. I want to see it before I order it. Produce, I don't want to order online. Like
I don't want to order it from Walmart anyways.
Yeah, I agree, but I'm just saying I don't care who it is. Like I don't really want to buy it online. I want to be able to look at it, touch it, smell it, feel it, like know it's good. Because I don't trust the fucking minimum wage slave that's going to like decide what fucking watermelon I get or whatever.
Yeah, and I mean, and you're at the discretion of the driver, right? I liked when we could have when we would pay a higher dollar amount subscription and get a better driver. Now, when you order apples, you're beholden to whoever picks the apples, for instance.
Yeah, that's called Instacart, I think, is how you do the other, where you have a relationship with the driver.
Yeah, ours went away out here.
Yeah.
We do have personal shoppers. I think Kroger has that, where you can pick the person, and they do everything. They pick your shit, and they bring it to you. But
yeah,
I don't need that much service in my life. I'm still waiting for our robo-drones, right? They're just going to like bring it and just like put it right down in the yard, because that was a promise like 10 years ago.
I just want to see them get tangled up in wires.
Yeah. By next year, man. Amazon's just going to deliver your shit right on your front doorstep, you know?
Yeah, Josh.
Hey Jack, do you get ButcherBox anymore?
No, they pissed me off a long time ago. I cut bait with them about 4 years ago. They went ESG, and the dude I worked with for all those years was let go because they needed to hire three women, because they just needed to hire three women, and they hired like three Gen Z fucking retards, And I'm like, I can't work with you guys. I'm sorry. Like, they wouldn't do anything special for my people. They wanted to renege on their deal with me, which was they were paying me in meat. They wanted to go to like the standard affiliate. I'm like, I'm not just outside sales for you guys. I'm inside sales. I'm maintaining your customer base for you, whether you realize it or not. I did the math and I'm like, there's probably like $1.5 million to $2 million in recurring revenue under my people that I brought in over the years. And I'm like, if you don't value that, I don't value you. Go get fucked. And I really need a new meat vendor because that is a cool service. Like, I'm not for buying meat from Publix or Kroger or whatever, somebody picking the meat out. But if it's a good curated product with good quality meat, I would bring somebody back. Somebody told me about Good Chop, said they've had pretty good results with them. I mean, I don't know. Everything's
you know who has a subscription box is Joel Salatin.
Does he?
I'm pretty sure he does.
Yeah. Can he handle volume?
That's done. He knows the answer to that question. His son probably knows the answer to that question, too.
Yeah. Because, like, what's his name? Texas Slim does that stuff, too. But it's, like, all individual. It's weird. Like, you know, you're buying from this one ranch or something. And if people are going to do that, that's fine. But I can't manage a discount program like that. Yeah. I said, some things are good distributed and some things are good centralized. I mean, all we need to do to fix the meat problem in this country is, like, have more processing facilities that can actually process fucking meat. That's it.
Yeah.
That's literally the only fucking thing you have to do. Like, anybody in a place where you could raise cattle should be within 50 miles of a facility that can process cattle.
Yeah.
That's all you need. And it's not hard, and we used to do it, and nobody died, right? It's not 1875 where we don't have refrigeration.
Yeah.
The government acts like they fixed everything. No, fucking refrigeration fixed everything. The same shit with diseases, right? I'm not saying all vaccines are useless. It's because some are actually useful, but they make like fucking vaccines fixed all the fucking infectious disease. No, fucking engineering fixed the infectious disease problem. Why don't we have malaria in the United States? People think like, oh, it's only in the tropics. Bullshit. Fucking you got malaria out the ass in Virginia during the colony days, draining lowlands that fucking fostered mosquitoes. Like, that's what got rid of fucking malaria. In fact, I would say if you don't know the history of malaria and mosquitoes and rubber trees, you cannot possibly understand the history of the Americas. Those two things had and fucking seagull shit in the Falkland Islands. Right. If you don't understand those three things, you can't understand what actually happened, because like so rubber alone was one of the things necessary for the Industrial Revolution to even happen. If you can't insulate copper, you can't send power. You can't do it. You have to have something insulated. And today we have all these like synthetics and shit. We didn't have that back then. That's what made rubber so fucking valuable, that we could actually insulate things with it. And mosquitoes, the whole slave trade, as it was out of Africa, was built on malaria. Because when they brought over the white slaves and they put them to work in the fields in freaking Virginia, they all fucking died. But when they brought over slaves out of Africa that had been exposed to malaria for multiple generations, they survived. That's why that decision was made. It had nothing to do with racism at the time. It became racist, but it began of just like you would pick a chicken, right? I put this chicken on my farm and it fucking gets killed. And I put this other chicken on my farm and it roots in the trees and it lives. So which chicken are you going to run? Because that's how we viewed slaves, no matter what color they were. They were like they were property. They're livestock. So that's how that whole thing fucking started. They'll never teach you that in grade school. Or high school or whatever. Bullies on the Simpsons. I
cannot hear. Ed, Walmart boys look like bullies on the Simpsons. I can't unhear
they
that.
They just look unkempt. They look, their hair's greasy. They have no body shape. Like, you're not sure what that outfit they're wearing is. Their Walmart vest is super dirty. Like, they look. I mean, that's the majority of Walmart. There's always a couple that are there put together. And those are the ones that are clearly running things. The other thing with like Josh saying he saves, you know, 55 minutes going to Walmart. When Amanda goes to Walmart, that's a man hour of her day that is wasted just to and from Walmart. Plus, when we go to Walmart, we went to Walmart the other night. When we order online, the things we order show up and we spend way less. We walked into Walmart the other night and I put a few random things in the shopping cart that we would not have bought had we ordered it online. And I go, what do you think this card is? $500? She's like, nah, probably like $400. It was exactly $400. $400, we will definitely use it, right? But it was not stuff that we would have just bought had we ordered it online. It still wouldn't be here.
Yeah. Sometimes I need to go to the store to look at the things for the purpose, but in general, if I can avoid going to the store, life is better.
It's always better if you can stay home. There they are. That's the Walmart dream team right there.
That's what they, I mean, they look just like that. Like, what is that head shape?
Bro on the right. Like, yeah. I've seen that guy at Walmart. Absolutely seen that guy at Walmart.
Yeah, there's every time I walk, I'm like, look at that fractured DNA. What the hell happened to these people? Like, you guys using like home nuclear, like you're playing with isotopes? What's going on?
A little cesium-237 in your coffee every morning, like.
I mean, I could put that as an add-on on my website.
Cesium added to your coffee.
A little bit of inbreeding.
Cesium-237 and chromium-33 infused Jack's bourbon blend.
People always want me to add the mushroom powder to the coffee, but I sell whole bean.
No.
And so I'm like, okay, well, you make me a mushroom packet add-on, whatever, right?
Yeah.
And then it never happens.
See, I don't know what they're doing because the people that do the mushroom infused, it's always pre-ground.
Yeah.
And I thought one day, you know what a great idea is? I'll make a French press. And I'll take the mushroom shit and I'll throw it in the French press instead of in the coffee mug. And then it was like fucking the hydraulics on a fucking excavator trying to push it down because it's so fine. It clogs the shit out of everything.
It's probably ground less finely.
Yeah, just put your mushroom powder in your fucking cup when you pour your coffee and you'll be fine, man.
I use 2 scoops of the Sacred 7. I use it every morning.
That's what I do, yeah.
Ever since I heard you talk about it 10 years ago, I've been using it every day.
I think there are probably like niche small producer products that are maybe a better quality, but of the
mass, there is.
That is the best that you can just always buy. You can always get it. You can put it on auto ship. It comes to your fucking house, and you don't taste it at all in coffee. There's nothing. All you notice is there's a pretty good residue in the bottom of the cup when you're done. That's it.
Yep.
And I always swirl that and take it like a shot. It's not very good, but it's gone.
I agree. I'll tell you, the people who made the best mushroom additive I've ever had are Toby and Ani, who are like those two who play guitar at your...
Oh, yeah.
Like I sang with them, John, at one of the SRFs.
I know who you mean. Yeah.
You've met them. They had like cinnamon and nutmeg and all this stuff mixed up in there. It tasted great.
Cool.
But they don't make that commercially. They just were like, hey, Nicole, try this in your coffee. I'm like, that one would be a good one to add to your coffee from a flavor standpoint.
Yeah. Yeah. I like the cinnamon and shit. That's cool.
Yeah.
Cinnamon, that would be like a chai too, like, because it would just add to the whole thing.
I don't use the mushroom powder.
You could start right there.
I don't use the mushroom as a drink. I just put it in something that I'm drinking.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Don't go to the store hungry. You'll spend more. Ask me how I know, and ask Jack how he has 5 tiramisus in his fridge.
Yeah, and there's still 4 of them. And I didn't
give those away.
I didn't eat the other one. It wasn't me. I also didn't know that's what it fucking was. I just thought it was like some kind of parfait thing or something. You should have told me that. Fuck.
Coffee
tiramisu is my... That's a weak link for me in the world. Like, that's one of those things. Like, you put like 10 different cakes in front of me. I'm like, fuck that shit. I don't eat that shit. It's garbage. And then you put one of those in front of me. If it's good...
That's the bait.
Oh, yeah. That's the bait. And I'm going to fucking be like a big old fucking bass. And I'm going to take the hook. Like, that's... Oh, freaking soaked lady fingers and the layers, and yeah, that's
delicious. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I want to make one of those from scratch sometime next year.
Yeah, we had tiramisu last night at dinner. They have at the local restaurant here, they on Monday they do like Italian food, and the tiramisu they have is incredible. She brings it in from somewhere. They're not making it scratch, but it's very, very good.
Good, okay. Because I've had it good and have had it like...
Yeah. No, this is very good.
Tiramisu is kind of like calamari. There's no like, it's okay.
Right.
Dog shit or it's amazing. Like,
yeah.
A good calamari, I don't care if it's a steamed with sauce or it's like fried or whatever, it's delicious and it's tender. And like, or it's just like a rubber band you could shoot.
Yeah, really. Exactly.
When I first started dating Dorothy, we went to Mexico together and we were at like an all inclusive. And there's a thing at the end of the table. I know it's calamari because they're all the same size. But I know when she looks at it all excited, she thinks it's onion rings. And I'm like, no. I knew it was going to be rubbery bullshit. And I did not want her. Like, if she tries something and it's not good,
Never again.
We'll never fucking touch it again, right? So, like, we have to make sure the first experience with a new food is, like, as good as it gets. Because then if she likes it, she'll eat it. If she doesn't like that, then I don't want her to eat it. Because if you don't like something, don't fucking eat it.
Do you still have a 3D printer, Jack? You got a 3D printer, didn't you?
I do. I don't use it. I meant to barter it at the last workshop, and I did.
Man, Amanda got one and was just kind of playing with it. And I think we have 7 or 8 of them now, big ones.
Yeah.
And they're running 24 hours a day. She's building product. We're doing 3D patches. She's building battery trays. I mean, you name it. Well, kill flashes for optics.
Mine was like the best consumer level of that size you could buy 4 or 5 years ago when I bought it. And they were like $400 and something. And now you can get like $100 for it. And there's a new brand that they're like, the entry level one is like $200 something. And like, you just get it, set it up and fucking put a file and hit print and it just works.
Yeah. She's
and
got
camera. I'm open to getting one of those because I don't have time for fiddly shit.
Bamboo, like, man. Get the bamboo. She's got them in cages. She's got them just open. They've got cameras on board. Like she has an app while we're at dinner and she's like, oh man, this thing stopped or I need to change. She's got 4 colors that'll print 4 colors. It'll stop. Yeah. Dude, it is wild what these things are capable of right now. And anything like I remember you talking about Thingiverse when you had that dude on.
Yeah.
And dude, the stuff that she got it to make stands for green tree pythons.
Okay.
And I'm like, whatever, do some, you know, have fun with it. Yeah. And now like those things, they're running all the time, man.
Yeah. I might pick one of those up because they said like the entry level ones are $250, something like that. And so there was a dude that was interested in mine and I have a couple reels of filament and shit. And when I saw how much they sell for now, they're like brand new, they're like $180. I'm like, $100, you can have it.
Yeah. She's got
enough to climb up and get it off the shelf. And I didn't care enough to get it off the shelf, drag it out to barter blanket, put it on the blanket, and then end up having to bring it back in the fucking house. I would have taken anything for it, like $50, a couple ounces of silver.
I gave mine away for free, Jack.
I might have to.
I did that. I was like, you want to play with a 3D printer? Take this. I never use it. It takes up too much space. It needs to be cool in the room. Like, there's a whole...
Mine had a big issue with adhesion to the board. And, like, I tried all this shit. I tried the spray. I tried the fucking tape. And, like, I didn't get a print going. And I'm like, okay, it's going good. And I'd leave and I'd come back and fucking string everywhere. Like, you know what? I don't need a fucking battery holder on my beadboard that fucking bad when I go to Amazon and go, $20, boom, there's one at my house in a day. Like, fuck this. I don't need this anymore.
Yeah,
there was
a lot
nothing
of
I could do that I really wanted so bad that it was worth dealing with the bullshit. But if it was just, okay, I need a thing, and oh, somebody made that thing, and I can just put it on there, then I would keep it set up and I would run it.
But think about what they're doing at SOE, right? They've already got that built in. We produce things.
Yes.
There's a market of people to buy it, first of all, and an unlimited capacity for coming up with interesting ideas.
I got a lot of product. I don't want to ship product. I do not have a warehouse, you know?
Yep. Yeah. A lot of that problem you're having is probably temperature and humidity.
Yeah. I don't want to dick with that.
Did he? Sure. Absolutely.
I don't want to dick with that. But the guy told me the bamboos, he's like, you just set it up and they just work.
Yeah, there's entire companies that have been built just off 3D printing extra stuff for the Milwaukee Packout toolboxes.
Yeah.
Entire companies making massive amounts of massive volumes of stuff for these things.
I feel left out, but then Beth Emily came in.
It's your fault, Nicole.
Seiko, thank you.
So what was she printing as stands? Like, what was she making for the pythons?
Literally just picture 4 vertical legs.
Yeah.
With connecting like a tabletop without a table.
Yeah.
And they just get on there and perch. They're just perches.
Yeah.
Like a bird perch, but it sits because a lot of guys doing green tree pythons, high humidity, they're going to keep them in shoe boxes with water in the bottom. And this just gives the animal somewhere to perch above
get
the water.
Out of that water. Yep. Okay. I got you. Huh. There's a lot of little shit I could do. I mean, if I had one that I didn't have to dick with. Like we were talking before we got on air, like this, I'm fixing to have to figure out how to get all my shit to podcast for like a month into my wife's office and podcast out of there because this whole office is getting redone. I'm going to redo this back wall. And I think of things I want to hang on it for interest. And then I'm going to be able to put the camera further back so you can see more of the wall. And some of that might need some custom hanging things and stuff like that. And that would be cool. But again, I was promised get it, drag a file, hit print. That did not occur.
It's pretty there now, man. Okay. We use a product called OmniWall. They call it gold-plated pegboard.
Yeah.
This company, OmniWall, makes this metal pegboard. And they have it takes standard pegboard, but it also has proprietary stuff in it where it actually cams and locks into place. And they're neat. They'll do any color you want. You can get the color combo that you like if you're DeWalt, Milwaukee, whatever. But Amanda found all these files where she can 3D print baskets and stuff to go because she wanted Tiffany blue, and they don't do that. So she printed out a bunch of Tiffany blue stuff that locks right into this thing. She just put right in Bamboo or Thingiverse or wherever she was. She put in OmniWall, and there was hundreds of files of stuff people had already programmed for stuff to go on that thing.
So, hey, I just saw something. Is this a loophole in StreamYard I don't know about? So, like, on my account, I can stream to 7 sources. So I set up 7 sources, and there's 2 more with a link. Is that y'all? Did y'all do that?
It was John.
It was John. That's cool.
I'm streaming to multiple of my sources right now.
So that's what I'm saying. So even though I'm only limited to 7, if I have somebody else with a StreamYard account, you can use that stream link and you can go beyond my 7. That's fucking cool to know.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's 120 a month or whatever their top account is. That's what we use.
Because I just found out that you can now you can stream directly to fucking Instagram without a bunch of bullshit.
Yeah.
If you have a Meta Pro account, and I'm glad I said yes when Facebook asked if I wanted one because I didn't know that's what it would let me do.
Same thing with X.
Instagram today, and I'm like, then I have to nuke one of your streams, and like, I don't want
to
do that.
Same thing if you're verified on X, you can stream to X also.
Yeah, I'm verified and I can't stream to X, and no one at X will help me.
Weird.
No one will fucking help me. Like, literally, there's no, like, even if I try to do it directly, there's no fucking button there. And I feel like multiple fucking
requests. You're too dangerous.
And they're like, you have no restrictions on your account. I'm like sending them screenshots. What fucking button? Send this back to me with a fucking arrow on it. Show me what button. Oh, you're fine. You can stream anytime you want.
Yeah, that whole X being free when Elon Musk took over, that all seems to be over with now.
Oh, it's gone. Like, I would tell you that right now there's more free speech on Facebook than X, which is fucking crazy.
Isn't that weird?
That's fucking weird as shit. I did just get, I got slapped by Facebook. I found one of, like, the transgender retards and, like, a huge fat dude, and I made a meme and it said a condom could have prevented this, and they took it down because it targets a specific group of people.
Did you see the tranny politician, the dude pretending to be a girl, big greasy forehead, kind of balding?
Yeah.
Got arrested for kiddie stuff. He was asking that they had taken some pictures, I believe, took some pictures of a very young child, and then was sharing that, and this dude got hemmed up in that.
What a surprise.
Yeah.
What a surprise, you know.
Imagine that.
What else we got today, guys? I don't know what's going on. The government's back, maybe. I don't know.
Not yet. A couple more days.
There'll be
48 more hours because of Rand.
Oh, we got Ukraine. Big news out of Ukraine.
What is that?
There's some town that's been holding out against the Russian aggression for however long, and there's like 100,000 Ukraine troops there. It's now completely fucking surrounded. So Ukraine is on the edge of total, complete collapse. They had over 23,000 desertions last month. And so Germany's like talking about drafting people and shit because obviously Putin's going to take all of Europe now.
Did you see the German general talking about the conscription and the draft, how they're only drafting the cream of the crop, right?
Yeah.
Because all the migrants they've let in are not smart enough or fit enough to fight.
Yeah.
So who are we going to draft? We're going to draft the strongest and the smartest amongst us. And who does that leave? The people that we've let. The enemy inside the wall who will vote for the nonsense that got us where we are now. Yeah. When you talk about, people always talk about what fighting in the United States would look like. If you want to see what that will really look like, look, there's some incredible graphic footage coming out of Ukraine from both sides, whether it be from Russia or from Ukrainian side. There are some accounts out there showing some just insane combat footage. And it seems to be like very within minutes of it actually happening, a lot of it.
And we did it. We totally caused it.
Yep.
It's our fault. I say we, I mean the United States government. We did it more than the EU. We did this. We are the guy that, like, you know, those two kids were going to fight in school, and you knew the one guy was going to get the shit beat out of him, but he could hold his own long enough to make the fight interesting. And you're like, man, you can take him. You can take him. That's That's what we did with Zelensky. We got you, man. We got you. And you can give them all the weapons and all the money you want. When you run out of fucking people, I mean, they have completely destroyed. And you say, I said, I put that line up there, a whole generation. This is from Dropkick Murphys. Or actually, there was another group that did it, but they covered it. The Greenfields of France. And there's a line in it, and a whole generation was butchered and damned. It's about World War I. This is like three generations. Because they're drafting people from 25 up to almost fucking 70. Imagine, John, you or I, at this stage in our life, being drafted into a hot kinetic war. Like, that's, I don't think that's ever been done in modern history.
So when you see the footage of the trench warfare, what you have is you've got a younger dude that's typically running the gun.
Yeah.
And he hands the empty gun back to an older man that's in one of the boxes, the offshoots. And he's those guys are basically loading ammunition. Those are weapons bearers, a lot of them. But they are in the fight. Like, they are out of people.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's like the fucking Ukraine-Russia conflict right now is like World War One with drones.
Yep.
That's the best way I can describe it. World War One with drones. Instead of like these little tiny trenches, which they have forward trenches from the tiny trenches. They're like giant fucking swales. They take these fucking machines that look like Elon's boring machine, but they're like halfway in the ground. And what they are for, so armor can't cross. Like, armor will get stuck, and when it gets stuck, you just fucking nail the shit out of it. It is one of the most horrific wars in modern history. The only thing that makes it not like a World War II or a World War I level horror is the scale. Like, if it was at the scale of either of those, it would dwarf them. Like,
they're cutting miles of trenches every day. They're cutting miles of that trench.
The upshot of this, though, is once that falls, and those 100,000 troops are going to surrender. They're just going to fucking surrender. There's nowhere for them to go. They can't get any supplies. There's no way to unass that Russian offensive. Then Ukraine's going to fall.
Did I just see that Zelensky bought one of the largest pieces of ranch land in the United States?
You know why? Because he's fixing a fucking Adolf himself out of the fucking country.
Absolutely. I mean, he owns a big massive property in Florida, and I think there's one in Texas, and there's a third one that he holds in the United States. But I seem to recall in the last couple of days, the largest or one of the largest connected pieces of ranch land in the United States that he just bought.
Yeah. Yeah. He's going to be here. I would say maybe not by Christmas.
Well, he's here all the time.
No, I mean permanently. Like,
he has a United States Secret Service detail.
For himself. When this war ends, if he doesn't get out of there, he will hang from a light post.
Absolutely. He's probably not even there.
Like, if they ran elections right now in Ukraine, he would get like 3% of the vote. They try to make him like this big hero, and his people love him. Why do you think they suspended elections? Oh, because it's wartime. We had fucking multiple elections in wartime in the United States. We never shut down elections because we were at war. Not once. Not one fucking time. You can have an election during wartime. And they paint this picture. And I've talked to people that don't know anything. And they literally feel like bombs are falling every day in Kyiv or something. Fucking people are partying in Kyiv.
Yeah, there's still luxury cars.
Fucking land at the edge. Just be like, if you were in Texas and Texas was Ukraine, like, it's like a war on the fucking border with fucking New Mexico. Dallas wouldn't give a fuck. You wouldn't even... every once in a while a fucking missile comes in or something, but they got the ADA set up there that we gave them, so they're knocking shit down. And they haven't tried, if they fucking tried to level Kyiv, it would take a week. There wouldn't be a building. It would look like Gaza.
Yeah, the rich kids are still in the nightclubs. There's still Ferraris and Lamborghinis running around there. It's not the politicians' kids are exempt from all that shit.
Sounds a lot like Vietnam.
Wonder how Zelensky could afford it.
Yep. Oh, with
that's a big mystery, actually.
Yeah, how
obviously, when your country's at war, every bit of your resource goes into that war, doesn't it?
Could you think about how much money we've given Ukraine, just Ukraine, of all the foreign aid? Fuck it, just Ukraine since this shit started. If you were to take that earlier conversation about the asylums being abusive and all, we could have completely rebuilt that system in a way that would have sustained itself for fucking 50 years. Like putting that money into like a trust fund that kicked out income to fund it. And we could have put in like something to deal with all these people, the homelessness, the craziness, the drug addiction, and like actually help people. I'm not for government doing that, but I would rather that happen with the money they steal from me than blowing up children in another country. Like, if I have to pick, and that's my only two choices, let's clean up our country. Like fucking Gavin Newsom when what's his name? G came here. Remember when you were a kid and your parents told you had to clean your room and you just shoved all your fucking shit under your bed and made your bed with a long front so you couldn't see under the bed and shoved everything in the closet? That's what Newsom did with the homeless camps.
Like, where'd they go?
They just went outside of where G would be. And as soon as he left, they just let him back in.
There's still a lot of people saying that those people never reappeared.
Yeah, there's a lot of people that say a lot of things. Go to San Francisco.
Maybe they went on ships. Maybe they went to China.
Okay, that's a solution.
Put them in the camps there.
China has no problem with camps.
No.
Not at all.
Nope.
The quickest way to go to a camp in China is complain about a camp.
Complain about anything.
Yep, you go to the camp.
But you don't get why communism and socialism are good, Jack.
Oh, I understand.
That's not real communism or socialism.
Real communism hasn't ever been tried.
A real interesting chain about people saying that is idealistic socialism, not real socialism. New Zealand.
Here's the latest line. That's not even socialism or communism. That's authoritarianism.
Yep, that was on there too.
Yep, that's the new line they're teaching these fucking retards in school. It's authoritarianism.
Watching them, argue with somebody I worked with who was a very accomplished economist in the libertarian world, and then he went on to become the deputy prime minister of New Zealand. They're arguing with him because he's posting, on this day, the Berlin Wall fell.
Uh-huh.
Still don't think people want to get out of socialism and, fleeing towards capitalism. They're like, that wasn't capitalism, bro. And I'm like, oh.
There is only one country that people flee to China from, and it's North Korea. That's the only country in the world that people flee to China from because of their condition in life.
But even China immediately rounds them up and puts them into camps.
Yep.
There's a bunch of those people talking about how their relatives had fled to China, and there's a bunch of interviews about how they got organ harvested. They put them immediately into sex camps or into organ camps or work camps. And even when you're in a work camp, they still immediately, the first thing they do is type match you for organ tissue donation.
Now there's enough, like China's a big country. And so that's the people that just like fucking haul ass across the Yellow River when it freezes and think it's freedom. But if you are tied into like a network, and there are whole networks that get you out of China because they know if they keep you in China, that's going to happen to you. So China is actually a route to South Korea. That's how that's actually working now. And it's not the majority that do it, but there is like, if you're tied in, but the way they keep you there, right, is you don't care about your family, you don't have a family, or your whole family gets out. Because if you get out and they find out you got out, they just like lay waste to your fucking family.
That's what the rich people that come out of China and come to the United States, they always have they're not allowed to travel with their family because the family is still held. That's what they use as leverage to get them to return to China.
Yep, that's how they do that. They get your travel visa, but you're going to come back because, we got your mom, we got your dad, we got your brother, we got your kids.
Gee, I wonder if the USSR ever did that.
Yeah. But China has industrialized it on a level that is way more sophisticated. Like, and Russia really didn't, USSR really didn't do that for everybody. It was more like key people they
wanted. Yeah, like the big Olympic folks.
Like, if I ran away, they'd be like, fuck it, who cares, fuck him. But the Olympians and shit like that, they didn't want that happening. Or if you knew things, then you can't go. Or if you're a chess master, those guys, that was fucked up. How valued they were by Russia or USSR, like the chess masters, they were.
Or ballerinas.
Dude, and I don't know what it is about Russia that produces these chess fucking guys. Like,
also ballerinas.
Ballerinas. But you could be like a badass, like high-rated chess master and go get your ass beat in a park in Moscow. By some random fucking, I'm serious. Like, it's like a fucking full culture there. I guess they're bored. They drink vodka, play chess.
There's also a value on deep thinking in that country that is built into the culture. If you look at what they produce, from a philosophical standpoint.
Yeah.
It's not like, oh, you're a nerd, you're an asshole. It's like, oh.
Yeah, like you actually.
Tell me more.
You value smart people, right?
Yeah. You get more. Because part of being smart is aspiring to being smart.
Yeah. not self-censoring. That's a good way to stay stupid is self-censorship.
Hmm.
We're almost at 2 hours.
I think it's time. Okay, let's do this. Let's start with Jack today.
Well, folks, if you don't know who I am, I am Jack Spirko, host of the Survival Podcast. Today's episode on my show, I think it's 3575 or 76, something like that. A fucking bunch. So we've covered pretty much everything in the wheelhouses we're in today. Self-sufficiency, self-reliance, independence, liberty, politics, aquaponics, farming, all of it. Just go to the survivalpodcast.com, use the search box, and you'll find something to interest you, I promise you.
John.
Special Operations Equipment is the name of my company. I am broadcasting right now from that YouTube page. I do a live almost every night at 9 o'clock. Jump on there. We can talk and discuss anything you want. On my YouTube channel, there are some 7,000 videos. There's multiple different video categories, so you can check that out. I'm on Instagram, Facebook. I'm active on all of those. I've also got a TikTok where we post some of the content from a couple of our podcasts there. So check us out if you want to get a hold of me. What I really do is build nylon tactical gear, and you can see that at soetacticalgear.com, and we put a different shirt out every week also.
It's Defund Politicians Day because of the shutdown for me. I have fun choosing my snarky SOE shirt of the day. I'm Nicole Soss from Living Free in Tennessee, where we've really refined our focus to regenerative food production and connecting people with that. So if you want to come to the Saturday farm-to-table dinner in the Holler Homestead, you are shit out of luck because it's sold out. But you might want to get on my email list at livingfreeintennessee.com or check out a podcast episode or two to find out when we're doing that again, because we're doing true connection. So everything we can source locally, we have, including the turmeric this time. That was a big score. So just want to see more of that.
Cans right now?
Hmm?
You're not going to pimp your cans?
Oh, yeah. My cans.
They're missing.
I don't have one in here. Mom, bring me a can. Anyway, I do have, so that's true. I also roast delicious coffee at hollerroast.com. We have K-Caps back in stock finally. They were out of stock for a little while. Amanda Willis got the last K-Cups before this run came in because she deserves them. And we have come out with a new way to pet. You can get a free upgrade till the end of the year with this beautiful retro coffee can. This one's branded for Christmas because it's going into a Christmas market in Murfreesboro. But we put the coffee roasted to order in there and seal it. And we are now testing how long it really does stay tasting fresh, according to me. And I'm pickier than other people, but it is delicious. I spend a lot of time sourcing beans carefully. We just had $10,000 in beans arrive yesterday in the snow. So now would be a great time to order your favorite coffee at hollerroast.com.
Don't wait. Christmas comes and you might get in the back of the line and not get your coffee till January.
She has a subscription service too, so you guys can just sign up for it and it'll just show up once a month for you.
Exactly.
All right, guys. When people like John and Jack are selling for you, you let them do it. Go ahead, Nicole. You close now.
I said, I'll just shut up.
I'm just saying. When you got people selling for you, let them do it. Yeah.
All right. We'll see you guys next month. Just run you around. Said you should have a house the American way. A dollar down, a dollar a month, and you never have.